Good Sunday morning. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries, and it's good to be with you on this Sunday. Man, it is without a doubt the fall season. We have a cool, kind of a cloudy day today, a little bit of rain this past week, but man, is it Iowa beautiful, is it not? The trees are changing. The season is beginning to look as we head towards Christmas time. I can't even believe I'm saying this, but also to winter. But man, what a beautiful season. This is probably, in my opinion, living in the state of Iowa, one of the most beautiful seasons there is in my thought process. But maybe today you're traveling down the highway. Maybe you're out looking at trees and stuff as you're going about your day today, or just going down the highway. I want to thank you for listening, being part of Vital Ministries this morning, and just being with us today. And just be safe as you travel down the highway. Also, too, I want to give a big shout out. I've really noticed people have really been a lot more patient this year with these farm people as they're out there. These farmers are out doing their job, getting the crop out of the fields and out of the land. And they're having to move these big combines and tractors and stuff like that. And I've really noticed people have been a lot more patient this fall. And I want to just say great job, commend you on doing so, because these men and women are just trying to get the crops out and do the best they can. And we just always want to give them a protection, and also to just to encourage them, for because let's be honest, they feed our nation, and that's a good thing. Also, too many of you are on your way to church. You have stopped your combines today. I love going out on Sunday and looking out on the countryside, and I just see the fields are quiet, no movement, and I'm so thankful that we live in this portion of the nation where we truly say that it's important for us to take the Sabbath Sunday off and to honor God. And also to those of you who are going to church today, how cool is that? Good job. And I just want to commend you on that. Just be safe as you travel. Also too, some of you have said, Mike, this is my Sunday morning time. This is my time with between me and God and listening. I just want to thank you for listening. I love hearing people's come up and just commenting that they listen. Because a lot of times when you sit here and do a radio portion of this, and you don't see faces, you stare into a screen and you're speaking from the word of God and paper, and there's nobody around, and you feel like you're in a room talking to yourself, and is there anyone listening? And I just want to thank you for the most gracious comments that I've had throughout the years of people coming up and just say, hey, I want to let you know that I listen to you on Sunday. I really appreciate it. Not that I need kudos by any means, and that is, please, that is not what I'm asking for, but what I am saying, that is such an encouragement. As you go out, it takes time to prepare all this stuff, and just you hope that the word of the Lord is getting out. That's the most important thing of all. Also, too, just a reminder, I had a person just reach out to me. We have Vital Men Bible studies going on, and I tell you what, it is good stuff. We're going through the book of Matthew through the eyes and the lens of a tax collector. And man, we are digging. We just got through the Sermon on the Mount, and we're getting ready to start chapter 8. But we're in four different locations that you can go to. We're in Knoxville, Ottumwa, Oskaloosa, and also to New Sharon. You can get plugged in these men's Bible studies for a big hour and a half. And just as men coming together and open up the Word of God. And how did it apply back then as it does apply today? Much like what we do on Sunday morning, of taking the Word of God and what was written. And how do those things even apply to us today? Also, too, we send out devotionals 6 days a week with both Vital Life and Vital Men. What a great time. My podcast goes out from today. Would be, if you missed it, you can go out and pick it back up. And it will be brought up on Vital Ministries website on Monday. You could listen to it again. Or maybe there's some in the previous ones that you listened to. And we're going to take a time out, a break a little bit, one more week before we jump back into the seven mountains of God and the mountains of influence. But those are the kind of the things today, just to kind of catch back up. But let's jump right in. I've got a lot of information this morning. I really appreciated Pastor Bill last week as we talked about a hard subject as a pastor-led church as to an elder-led church. And I had some great comments about that. Some people said brought insight to that thought process. And today we're going to break away one more week. I think this is important. I want to cast vision. And actually, that's just my title this morning, is we'll be my vision. And with that being said, today we're going to have two parts of our discussion, two chapters. We're going to get it all done. We're going to have a part one and a part two this morning. But what is God's vision First of all, what is God's vision for his people? And then part two, what is God's vision for the church today? And I believe that once we understand both parts of this vision, we'll see revival come back to our land, come back to our churches, and also come back to us as the people of God. See, without giving a vision, the people will perish. That comes from Proverbs 29:18. And without vision, ministry fades away. A vision empowers a church and empowers its people. It's when the leader or the pastor of the church casts vision to the people and they know where they're headed. They understand direction. And this is all done by God, who breathes into the leader by the Holy Spirit, in which that leader can cast vision. Now, this vision is not the person's, the pastor's or the person's vision. This is the vision that is breathed into God. God speaks to the man or the woman, speaks into the vision, and through that vision and through the power of the Holy Spirit, we understand the direction in which we're going. I love going to churches or to companies that have vision statements right when you get in. You just see it, or you got it in a bulletin, you know what's going on in the vision. And it tells everyone where they're headed. Recently, I had to go back to Kinetic Edge in Oskaloosa to get some more physical therapy done because my left knee is getting stiffer and I'm losing some muscle. Not really sure what's going on. Went to see the doctor. He said, hey, Mike, you need to go back, get some physical therapy, and we'll get back on top of this thing and get you more mobile again. But their vision, I love their vision. It's right on the wall. And this is what it says. This is what it, in Oskaloosa. And I know it's in all the other locations. It says this: create a community of healthy, happy, and hope-filled people. That is their vision for you when you walk in. That's their vision, and that's what they're hopeful. See, three things in this vision shares their soul: healthy, happy, and hope-filled. That's their vision for all people to get that experience when they walk in the doors for their help. See, when a leader and a church share vision, everyone knows it. They can feel it. The Holy Spirit is moving in such a way that people want to belong to a church that knows where they're headed. Isn't that true? The early church did the same thing. Peter cast visions and cast vision who Jesus was, and a great revival of repentance and things happened amazingly in that time. I want you to open up your Bibles this morning if you got them. We're going to look at the book of Acts real quick. We're going to touch base in Acts chapter 2. I'm actually moving there myself. Normally I have this all set up ready to go, but I missed that this morning. So just give me a quick minute to get there and we are going to get this thing going. So we're going to look at Acts chapter 2, 29 through 47. And this is what it says in the Word of God. It says, Peter, he's speaking. He says, dear brothers, think about this. You can be sure that the patriarch David wasn't referring to himself, for he died and was buried in the tomb, and he's still here among us today. But he was a prophet, and he knew God had promised with an oath that the one of David's own descendants would sit on the throne. David was looking into the future and speaking of the Messiah's resurrection. He was saying that God would not leave him among the dead or allow his body to rot in the grave. God raised Jesus from the dead, and we all were witness of this. Now he is exalted to the place of the highest honor in heaven at God's right hand and the Father, and he had promised and gave him the Holy Spirit to pour out upon us, just as you see here today. For David himself never ascended to heaven, yet he said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit on the place of the honor at my right hand until I humble your enemies, making them a footstool under your feet. So let everyone in Israel know for certain that God has made Jesus, whom was crucified, to be both Lord and the Messiah. Peter's words pierced the hearts, and they said to him and to the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? Now, this is, it really could, Peter was casting vision. He was telling the direction of exactly what was happening. See, it's so important. See, without vision, people will drift. They lose heart and live in comfort and complacency. Deep down, everyone who is committed to Christ and the church wants more vision and comes from God and is empowered by the Holy Spirit. When people catch the vision, they buy into it. They'll serve. They'll put all their resources and their time, their money, their energy, their relationships into vision. So let's jump into part one this morning. And I just want to share with you that this morning that I believe is a vision morning. Now, what I mean by that is we're going to cast vision today about what it looks like for God's people and also the church. This is important. So part number one is this, God's vision for his people. Now, I want you to hear this. Stop doing religion and stop playing church. And I'm going to show you that this morning because, man, there's going to be some pushback this morning, even by the very words that I spoke. But I want to share with you today exactly what I'm speaking about as we look into the book of Isaiah chapter 58, starting with verses 1 and 2. And we're going to see how God is moving in such a mighty way for his people. And he is showing the vision for the people of God through the prophet Isaiah. And again, that is in Isaiah 58. And this is what we're going to read, starting with verses 1 and 2. It says this. Shout with the voice of a trumpet blast. Shout aloud. Don't be timid. Tell my people Israel of their sins. Yet they act so pious and they come to the temple every day and they seem delighted to learn all about me. They act like a righteous nation that would never abandon the laws of God. They ask me to take action on their behalf, pretending they want to be near me. Now, some interesting things is what I've read this morning. See, the people of Israel from the outside looked like they were doing all right, doing the right things. Went to the temple, obeyed God's laws, fasted, and appeared to be religious. From the outside, it was nothing more than a show, and yet their hearts were far from God. We just read it through the prophet Isaiah. And if you continue reading, let's continue reading verses 3 through 5. And this is what it says. We have fasted before you, they say. Why aren't you impressed? We have been very hard on ourselves and you don't even notice at all. They're talking to God here. I will tell you why, I respond. It's because you are fasting to please yourselves. Even while you fast, you keep oppressing your workers. What good is fasting when you keep on fighting and quarreling? This kind of fasting will never get you anywhere with me. You humble yourselves by going through the motions of penance, bowing your heads like reeds bending on the wind. You dress up in burlap and cover yourselves with ashes. Is this what you call fasting? Do you really think this will please the Lord? Man, I tell you what, these words pierce my heart even reading them this morning. So the old prophet was like a trumpet for the religious fasting, showing that their practices to people as to God, looking holy to everyone else with wrong heart motive. Then in verse 6, he says these words to the Lord. No, this is the kind of fasting I want. Free those who you are wrongly imprisoned. Lighten the burden of those who work for you. Let the oppressed go free and remove the chains that bind people. Now, God was wanting them to show mercy and kindness and not put people under harsh law. He wanted mercy over sacrifice. If the people were willing to show mercy and grace, that God would promise salvation would return to them, and his glory would protect them, and God promised to speak to them again. Now, too often we've become religious towards people, looking down on people. I'm talking about today. Looking down on people we don't think measure up to our standards. We have recently had this project that we've done. It was a kitchen remodel addition for a widow lady in a local community. This woman has made more impact on every person who walked on her property than any person, I would have to say, in my career. And I've been building homes for 38 years. She loved on us. She made meals. She laughed with us. She prayed for our men. No matter what nationality they were in the trades, she made a meal for them and loved on every person that walked on her property. She showed me more mercy and kindness than any person I've ever worked for. She would always hug me and tell me, Mike, that she loved me. And when I left, she even did the same thing when I gave her a statement. You know, this woman was phenomenal. And the guys can't wait to go back and see her. She made such an impact on them and on their lives. She was Jesus in bodily form and didn't have to speak one word of the Bible. She lived it. See, this woman is faithful to Jesus with family, friends, and the church. She's always praying for our men, and she has made an impact on the Jesus' kingdom. See, the Lord speaks through Isaiah 58 and then verse 12. I'm going to show you that this morning on verse 12. And this is what is said. And it says this. Some of you will rebuild your deserted ruins of your cities. Then you will be known as the rebuilder of walls and the restorer of homes. See, what we see here is God wanted to rebuild the future of the Israelite people. He was going to restore what was broken, their homes, their walls, their cities. We need that today, don't we, folks? But it's essential that we get religion out of the way and move forward in our faith and in trusting Christ. God's vision for his people is to restore them, which is essential, which brings us to part two this morning. That's going to be important for us. Part two, the vision for the church today. We're going to go to the book of Ezra this morning. The book of Ezra. We don't go there very often, but this is an Old Testament. This is an Old Testament priest. And we're going to look at the book of Ezra. Israel had been known, had been in captivity during the siege of the Babylonians. Now the nation of Persia was the world power and God was at work. God moved the heart of King Cyrus to let the remnant of the Israelite people return back to the city of Jerusalem. Everything was destroyed, the temple, the city, the walls. So the king of Persia allows about 50,000 Jews to return back to their homeland. This was about in 538 BC. God had called the people to return home to rebuild the temple and the city and to restore their community. Even though that God had called the Israelites back, it would be a difficult job at best and take great courage. But let's look at their mission this morning as we look at Ezra chapter 1, starting with verses 1 through 5 this morning. And it says this, in the first year of the king of Cyrus of Persia, the Lord fulfilled the prophet he had given through Jeremiah. He stirred the hearts of the Cyrus to put this proclamation in writing to send it throughout the kingdom. This is what King Cyrus of Persia says. The Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth. He has appointed me to build a temple in Jerusalem, which is Judah. Any of you who are his people may go to Jerusalem in Judah and rebuild the temple of the Lord, the God of Israel, who lives in Jerusalem. And may your God be with you. Whoever this Jewish remnant is found, let their neighbors contribute toward their expenses by giving them silver, gold, and supplies for the journey and livestock, as well as voluntarily offering the temple of God in Jerusalem. Now, I'm going to stop there just a second. See, it has been 70 years since, again, the exile leaving Jerusalem. The great king of Persia used a decree that permitted the Jews to leave and return back to their homeland. This had been prophesied by Isaiah in chapter 44, verse 28. What we see here is God was faithful to his remnant as he is today. Even in their sinful state, God has made a covenant with his people. We see that even today as Israel is under attack by with Hamas, the terrorist, a regime declaring war on the people of God of Israel. We will see Jerusalem prevail, folks. This is a prophetic word that we read from the Bible. They will not be conquered, but they will prevail, though it will cost the lives of innocent people. You don't have to watch the news too long to see exactly the words that I'm expressing this morning. See, King Cyrus opened the gates by God's providential will for the return, for the mission. Here's the mission to the people. The mission was to rebuild the temple. This was destroyed by King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylonians. I find it interesting that we see two groups of Jewish people here. One that wanted to return back to Israel, and the second group of people who wanted to stay. With those that stayed, they were asked to donate money and gifts to rebuild the temple. See, when you're walking in God's mission for you, your life, he will provide a way. At times, the tasks seem overwhelming, don't they? But God is faithful to his remnant. Much of the church today has put God, what I say, has put God in a box with small faith. They lack vision, and with that, they lose mission. For they go to church today with and forget the mission which we're called to, which comes from Matthew 28:18. God gives us all authority that was given to him from heaven and on earth to go and make disciples and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We have become comfortable with each other, not wanting to let people into our circles, let alone sinners into the walls within our churches. Now, not all churches are what I'm saying this morning. That is true. That is not. But most. And this is important for us. We have become comfortable and unwilling to allow the Holy Spirit to work. Generally, we get up. Every Sunday, we'll sing 3 songs, pass the plate, get a sermon, maybe sing one more song, and make sure that it's only an hour long, because if you don't, the pastor is going to catch it. They leave no room for the Holy Spirit to work. No longer do we speak of the consequences of sin in our churches. Instead, we praise people who are living in a sinful life, and we do it especially on Facebook and social media. Our churches and our nation needs a revival, and so does the American church. Folks, hear me on this. If you hear nothing I say, hear this. Folks, it's wake-up time. See, Christ is coming again to return. And we are living end time prophecy before our very eyes. I'm passionate about this, and it's important for us to confess sins together in order for us to rebuild the temple of God, not only in our hearts, but within the church walls itself. But let's keep going. Let's look at Ezra 5-6, folks, this morning. Then it says this, "Then God stirred the hearts of the priests and the Levites, of the leaders of the tribes of Judah and Benjamin, to go to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple of the Lord. And all the neighbors had assisted by giving them articles of silver and gold, supplies of the journey. Then they gave them many valuable gifts in addition to the voluntary offerings." Now, this is really important, is what we see. God was stirring the hearts of the priests and the Levites, giving them a heart passion to rebuild God's temple. God was working in such a way that the hearts of the priests, so their hearts were turning into action and were to pleasing God. See, it's essential today in the American church that our pastors, our priests, evangelists, teachers have a heart that is burning inside of them to rebuild the churches of our nation today, to become more concerned about preaching and speaking the word of God as opposed to making sure that everyone feels good and they walk out unchanged and undone from what they've done before and go back and living what they do Monday through Saturday. I know these are harsh words this morning, folks, but I feel with the power of the Holy Spirit to speak. And I pray that you hear the words that I'm speaking this morning. We see more fussing and fighting within the body of Christ than anyone can imagine. Worried more about religion and rules as to giving one another grace and mercy. If we can't do it within the church walls, how can we ever do it on the outside of the walls? And folks, the people on the outside of the walls are looking at you inside the walls. And I got to confess, folks, I stand with you and I stand in the same sin because I have fallen as well. And that is true. And I want to confess here publicly, right here on the radio station, for the sins that I have made and made it so people won't come to church. Folks, it's wake up time. This is important, but let's keep going this morning to Ezra 9:12. I'm sorry, I don't want to confess that I'm sorry for, but I want to read something this morning that I believe is true. We're going to go back to Ezra 9:1-5, and this is what it says. This is Ezra as he speaks. He says, "Oh God, I'm utterly ashamed. I blush to lift my face to you. For our sins are piled higher than our heads, and our guilt is reached to the heavens. From the days of our ancestors until now, we have been steeped in sin. That is why we and our kings and our priests have been at the mercy of the pagan kings of the land. We have been killed, captured, robbed, and disgraced, just as we are today. But now we have been given a brief moment of grace, for the Lord our God has allowed a few of us to survive as a remnant. He has given us the security of the holy place. Our God has brightened our eyes and granted us some relief from our slavery. Verse 9, this is important. For we were slaves, but in his unfailing love, our God did not abandon us in our slavery. Instead, he caused the king of Persia to treat us favorably. He revived us so we could rebuild the temple of our God and repair its ruins. He has given us a protective walls of Judah and Jerusalem. See, in this chapter of 9 through 1, even being told that the Jewish people had intermarried women from the other nations. And this was sin before God. And God made it clear that they were to be separated from all nations and to live as a holy nation. It says in verse 5 that Ezra, he stood up and he tore his clothes and he fell to his knees and he lifted his hands to God. And I've read a portion of the verse this morning, these verses of what he said. But in verse 9, this is the essential part, and I'm really going to have to move quickly this morning. I'm virtually out of time. He says these four things, and I believe it applies to us even today. Number one, to revive us. What was dead now comes back to life. Man, is that not true? Once what was dead, he's promised to revive us. He promises this, to repair the house of God. What is broken will be fixed. I believe what has been broken within the American church will be fixed once again, once revival comes back and takes place in our great nation. Number three, to rebuild its ruins. What was laid in waste by the enemy is now rebuilt. We know in the book of Revelation that the enemy is defeated. Folks, cast your eyes and your faith toward the sky and know that Jesus Christ, the Messiah, is returning again. That is our hope today. And number four, to give us the walls of Jerusalem and Judah and the protection of God is once restored. And I believe that, folks, that God is a restorer of his protection. And he will always protect the remnant of his people. And I believe that with all that's within me. He will protect your salvation. He will protect your life. And he will protect of where your journey is in this life today. And I believe that with all that's within me. Man, I tell you what, we're out of time. I'm on fire. I wish I had more time. I wish I could do a part two, but we won't. Next week, we're going to return back to the seven mountains of influence and talk about the mountain of education. You won't want to miss it. Let's pray real quick. Dear Jesus, again, we thank you for this day, for the opportunity that we could come and share the gospel message. I pray that as Ezra called out to you, Lord, that we do the same thing, to revive, restore, and rebuild. Help us, Father, to do such a thing, and that you made this promise as you did in the book of Ezra, that you redo that, you redo this again in our churches today. We love you, Jesus. We praise you. We thank you that you are returning, and with that, our salvation draweth nigh, and in that we love you, Jesus, and we look to you as you return. We love you, Lord, in your precious holy name. Amen. What an exciting morning. I hope if you're not excited this morning after that, I know that I am. I think my heart's going 100 miles an hour, but I'm excited about what God is doing. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries.